Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February 24th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour two of two. And our goal remains simple, steady as a rock. That is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country and the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founding fathers are absolutely brilliant and the solution to the problems we face. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth certainly should be one of our absolute biggest efforts. Welcome to the broadcast. We need your help. We're live and on demand on the Roku player, live and on demand at libertyroundtable.com, libertynewsradio.com, and more. Before we get to our guest, we mentioned last hour, we are pushing for a local mayor of Cedar Hills, Utah, to resign. His name is Gary Gygi, and we think he needs to resign because he's abused the law, because he's absolutely abused citizens, and it's got to stop. And the former mayor had to go to prison, and now this new mayor seems to be, in my opinion, not really acting as a servant of the people, not really keeping his constitutional oath of office. So we wrote an article or a little letter that we sent to a bunch of people now calling for the resignation of this Cedar Hills, Utah Mayor Gary Gygi. We call on him to resign immediately. And Kurt's got the details. Then we'll get straight to our guest. Kurt?
Thank you, Sam. Yeah, it says, hi, Gary, Mr. Shaw, or all. Wow, did anyone read my emails? It's been over a month with no response. At least Gary should have responded. The checks and balances in our current form of government, Cedar Hills government, have failed us. You have not attempted to redress our long list of grievances, nor clear Mr. Cromar and like-minded Cedar Hills citizens for responsible government's good names and reputation. Gary, in particular, has abused and discredited the office of mayor, making himself unworthy of the title. Since Gary has failed to publicly address our numerous grievances and retract his attack on Mr. Cromar and Cedar Hill citizens for responsible government, we publicly call for Mayor Gygi's immediate resignation. We agree with the city attorney, Mr. Shaw, that there is a difference between free speech and attacks that cross the line limited by laws surrounding defamation, libel, and slander. We further believe this right applies to all Americans and that government should never be allowed a platform for public officials to abuse the citizens it is supposed to serve. Protection of First Amendment rights and respect for Utah open public records laws is a must to restore trust between citizens and elected officials who serve them. We declare that silence by city officials on this critical matter has become an unintentional endorsement of Gary's tyrannical behavior that must be addressed. We intend to use our rights in the form of nationally syndicated talk radio shows, YouTube, and web articles to expose Cedar Hills government's corruption and personal attacks articulated above. Since Gary has abused and discredited the office of mayor, we reiterate our call for Mayor Gygi's immediate resignation. Transparency, due process, and the rule of law are of the utmost importance for the proper role of government. Signed, Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby.
There you have it. Hopefully the rallying cry will grow with the citizens in Cedar Hills, and hey, hopefully we can find a mayor that'll keep his oath of office and stand for liberty and be transparent to the people and a whole lot more. That is our prayer. Tom DeWeese, AmericanPolicy.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, my friend.
It's good to be with you. It's been a little while.
Yes, sir. I know you've been traveling, and we've been traveling, and I've been sick a little bit, and thanks for your patience with us. What do you think? We're calling for the mayor to go bye-bye.
I think that's what we've got to do in every city in the country. This thing of local elected officials ignoring people, and doing what they, whatever they want to do behind closed doors is the root of our a lot of our troubles, and it's got to be stopped.
And what's fascinating to me is when you dig in, you find out that 90% of the time they're not transparent. It comes down to issues relating to Agenda 21. It really relates to that because that's where they kind of get compromised, where they kind of get on board with this stuff. In the Cedar Hills, there's two things. One, the Cedar Hills government, the mayor wanted to kind of take over control of a road. He wants to be involved in this battle over canyon lands and all this stuff. And he hasn't been transparent with his city council or with the public about what he's been working on. And a lot of that got exposed. He tried to delete some emails so that, you know, people wouldn't really kind of realize what he had been doing. However, he got caught at that. And transparency is the order of the day. And he's been less than genuine, less than honorable in his duplicitous relationships to these people and to what he's publicly saying and doing versus what's privately done, etc. And that's really at the heart of a lot of this whole thing we're debating.
Yeah, it is. We talk about what Agenda 21 is, sustainable development, and we talk about, a lot of people think it's just about environmental issues and trying to make our cities a little more organized or something like that. But what it really is doing is creating massive sizes of government. And these kind of guys are able to hide behind that, and they're creating non-elected boards and councils and regional governments, and they don't answer to the people, and that's the real result, and why we're really fighting the whole Agenda 21 thing. It's designed to change our society, and one of the major things in that change is a change in our system of government, away from representative government where you have a say with what your elected officials are doing, to where they have this wall up there that they can't be touched, and they just ignore you and go ahead and do what they want to do. And in so many places, these kinds of guys are putting in rules and regulations that help them pad their pockets for in a lot of ways. And they take land, they do whatever they want to do with it, and people have very little say about it. So for what you're doing, going after these guys, putting it right out there and trying to get rid of them is absolutely the right thing to do.
All right, now let's kind of back into this Agenda 21. You know, they had it long ago. We've been fighting this for several decades. They had all kinds of buzzwords that we've exposed. They've changed their words. Now they've changed Agenda 21. It's not even called that now. It's called Agenda, 2030?
2030, yeah.
So they keep manipulating the game, playing games. It's very hard to put your finger on the pulse. Some conservatives or some constitutionalists have meant well, but they've kind of taken on some paper tiger issues and got kind of beat up over it because they weren't quite prepared for the fight. They meant well, but they just didn't have all their ducks in a row going after these people. But the battle rage is on. We've made tremendous gains in the last 5 years. But now they're expanding this Agenda 2030 plan, and they've got all kinds of nice-sounding names again with a completely expanded initiative, right?
They have. And what they did with the Agenda 2030, first of all, as we were fighting Agenda 21, what I've heard over the last several years from them is, oh, that's an innocuous 20-year-old document that's just a suggestion, doesn't have anything to do with anything, it's all voluntary, blah, 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 blah. And the interesting thing is now that they put this Agenda 2030 together, they had this huge meeting in September in New York City, and they got a new whole new document with this new name. Well, it's not a 20-year-old innocuous document anymore. Now we've got a 3 or 4 month old document, so it's a little easier for us to point to. It's got 17 goals to it that are all exactly the same thing that came out in 1992, just a little more organized, a little more detailed, and they're marching. One of the things, the preamble to it said that we will implement these policies. So there goes your voluntary part of it, and that's what they're stepping it up. I think that they've stepped up the battle because they're panicked over the very thing that we've begun to score some victories. Agenda 21 is talked about everywhere now, and
but it's not. Let's be clear though, it's talked about everywhere, but it's not talked about as Agenda 21. to all these other weird words that people haven't connected yet, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, our side, those of us fighting it, talk about it, so it is talked about. But, yeah, you're right. As soon as we reveal something, smart growth, sustainable development, you know, wetlands, all kind of things, they start to change the term and don't want to talk about that anymore.
And we'll tell you about some of the latest initiatives they're using to expand this. And we got to make sure everybody's aware of it, and we got to make sure people stand against it, and we got to get organized, ladies and gentlemen. That is the key. Organization and coordination ought to get it done. AmericanPolicy.org is the website. Tom DeWeese with us, our guest. He's an expert on how to take back our property rights. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Back with you live. This half hour is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. Do business with the good guys today. That is indeed thepowermall.com. Also brought to you in part by givemelibertyfund.com. That's givemelibertyfund.com. Tom DeWeese, our guest, AmericanPolicy.org. Get a hold of his sledgehammer alert. It's free. Sign up. Become part of the email list of what hot topics are happening today. So, Tom DeWeese, they've got some kind of a cities program at the heart of this, right?
They've got a couple of them. The one that they announced at that same UN conference in September, where they came out with the 2030 agenda, Attorney General Loretta Lynch made a speech and announced that the United States was going to become part of what they call the Strong Cities Network. And you know, she talks about how it's creating a link between cities, just so we could lift up communities worldwide, and you know, we're just all in this together. You know, that whole attitude we hear all the time.
Nothing like a cozy bunch of people working together, huh, Tom?
That's
not
Goombaya hugs. Yeah, and you know, the way they describe it, she talks about, well, we're going to fight extremism. And, you know, we've had all these reports of what's going on in cities like in Europe and so forth, where you've got Muslim extremists that are robbing, murdering, raping everybody they can get their hands on. And you think, okay, well, this is an idea, strong cities network, we're all going to get together, and we're going to stop such threats to our cities. That's the way they sell it. The interesting thing about it is the Strong Cities Network comes from an organization, a UN NGO organization called the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, the ISD. And they set their sights on tackling extremism. But you go into their website and you begin to find they're not talking about extremism of beheading Christians and suicide bombers in crowded buildings and mutilation of women and all this sort of thing. No, they're really concerned about far-right extremism. And what that boils down to is Americans, or anybody, I guess, in the world who stands up and opposes Muslim extremism is a far-right extremist, and they are a danger to Islam. This is what Obama's administration has now grabbed hold of under the title of Strong Cities Network. And there are those who think that this might mean blue-helmeted UN troops or police forces in our cities. I don't think they'll be that obvious about it, but what I do know is that the Southern Poverty Law Center, who promotes all these exact same ideas and is called anybody who stands up for the Constitution, a right-wing extremist and a domestic terrorist, they are training police forces, working with the Department of Homeland Security into what to do about domestic terrorism. And again, Stan, they'd put your picture or my picture on the wall and say, this is what a domestic terrorist looks like. And so here you have the Strong Cities Network now coming out of the UN and the Justice Department, hand in hand with the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Department of Homeland Security, and this is what they call the Strong Cities Network.
Now, let's talk a little bit about this Strong Cities Network in terms of what it means, Tom. The Strong Cities Network, what? It's a network that the cities have to decide to join?
Yeah, we already have New York. And let me say, I don't have my whole list here of the cities that have joined it, but it's several American cities have already joined it. And, of course, there's grant money involved. And this training of their police forces, militarization of their police forces is a major part of it.
And that militarization of the police force stuff comes from the Strong Cities Network through the United Nations, through NGOs, et cetera. But a lot of that is backed from Israel training, right?
That I don't know. Back from Israel?
Yeah, as far as I understand, they go to Israeli military forces for training on some of these police forces now.
Well, that may be true. I mean, because that's but they they're bringing in militarization. You have these massively militarized SWAT teams, fast response kind of things that you're seeing whenever there's a problem in a community. They're boom, they're right there with this militarization of the police forces.
How does the city join, or how do you know if you're a member of that with your city?
They have a website at the Department of Justice, the Strong Cities Network, and it'll tell you which cities are already members. There's three or four American cities that have joined it already, but of course this just came out in September, and they're moving rapidly. And again, this is all driven by grants, and they take the grant, then they begin to put these things in place.
All right, it's kind of a very scary thing. Most cities are not part of it yet, though. We're jumping on this quite early in terms of what's happening, and this gives us an opportunity to educate before it even knocks on our door, comes to a theater near us, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because if they begin to get this entrenched, You know, Obama's already called for a national police force. Well, here it is. That's what this is. And, you know, if that gets in place, if your local police force is replaced by this or infiltrated by it, guided by it, then you've lost control of that. And, you know, then it's its own form of martial law when it comes right down to it. What you're going to find is that you know, the focusing on extremism, right-wing extremism, you're going to find Tea Party groups that won't be allowed to rent a room to have a talk. You're going to find spokesmen like us who are unable to travel and because we're spreading extremism. So these are the kind of consequences we're looking at here. It is a direct threat to everything we believe in, the Constitution, the right to travel, the right to speak out, the right to even own possessions and so forth, because, you know, if you're labeled an extremist under this, then, you know, you're going to be targeted and you're going to, you know, be locked away.
So how do we know if our city is being courted by these people? In other words, it's not just going to be sign up if you like. They're going to be aggressively courting these cities. And eventually trying to sucker them into becoming members and or get hooked on the money, et cetera, right?
Sure. First of all, you've got the Justice Department that is behind this. You've got, as I mentioned before, you've got the Southern Poverty Law Center is one of the main organizations pushing this. They're in there training your police forces. They do this every day of the year. They are around the country training local police forces on what a domestic terrorist is. And you know, this militarization of the police forces. We've already seen this with these grants that are bringing this military style vehicles and materials and guns and so forth into the cities, coming from the federal government, and so that's already started. And there will be other rules and regulations that they begin to put into place. Speaking out against Islam is you know, if you see a community doing that, if people doing that, that's a threat. We're going to have to go in and do that. You know, anti-gay, certain religious groups, that sort of thing. It all comes down to that, freedom of speech. And so, having political dialogue, as your whole show is, becomes a threat. It's a, you know, you are a domestic terrorist because you are spreading hate, and so you know they'll move into communities and say you've got to stop this hate talk. And how do they do that? To take you off the air, they don't allow you to assemble in public meetings, and you participate in some kind of protest or something, you'll be monitored, and a record will be started on you. This is tyranny, and this is what we've been talking about all this time.
All right, how do we arm ourselves to, one, understand exactly the details, and two, then to take this to our officials and make sure they're aware and that they understand the proper concerns, et cetera? In the past, people have been kind of too alarmist. They maybe made statements that weren't quite exactly accurate, et cetera. We've got to be patient. We've got to deliver this in a non-alarmist way. We got a quick pause. We'll come right back and have you answer that. Tom DeWeese, AmericanPolicy.org in seconds. We're talking about the Strong Cities Network, a dangerous program backed by the United Nations and non-governmental organizations.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Tom DeWeese on your radio. AmericanPolicy.org. So I asked right before the pause, you know, we need to let people know about the Strong Cities Network, this serious, serious concern. It's the United Nations teaming up with a bunch of non-governmental organizations, teaming up with private and public grant money. It's dangerous, to say the least. It violates not only the United States constitutional sovereignty, but right on down into the state and into the counties and into the city's sovereignty. And it'll dictate terms from on high, if you will. And at first it sounds great because you get a bunch of money and they make it sound really nice. But when they start to force the details, you get really concerned fast. How do we educate ourselves on this? Then how do we bring it to our officials' attention, but not do so in an alarmist way that'll backfire? That's kind of really the question, Tom.
Yeah, and we do. The problem we've had in the past is people get a piece of information and they rush into city council or somewhere and accuse them of implementing UN policies, and they've never heard that before because these NGOs behind the scenes never use those terms, and they just, oh, this is all local. And of course, they're going to sell this whole thing in such a grand way. We're just protecting people. We're just, you know, all, as I said in the beginning, we're all holding hands and trying to make everybody safe. And of course, when they have the grant money that they're waving in their hand, in their face, then you know, it's very difficult for these elected officials to turn that down. So, first of all, you can go into the Department of Justice website, and you can they have a search thing there. You can go into Strong Cities Network. You can see the cities that are already members of it. You can see the the way they sell it. And you know, one of the main things about this is joining hands of cities all over the world. It's a, you know, and what that means, as you just said earlier, is this is a direct attack on our national sovereignty. This is one of the main goals of everything the UN does, is to tear down our borders, to tear down our national sovereignty, and you know, to make the one world government that they're moving to do. So this is a major part of that, and it's a real plan to kill their opposition, get rid of their opposition, and make it impossible for us to protest. I think one of the main ways to go about this is, you know, our new speaker, Paul Ryan, said he wanted to fix our broken system. and stop the dangerous assault on our freedoms. Well, here's a way to do it. They should not fund anything in this country that has anything to do with the Strong Cities Network. And we've got a petition on my website at AmericanPolicy.org that you can send to Speaker Ryan saying, hey, you know, stick up for your promise that you're going to fix this and stop the Strong Cities Network. So that's one way that you can go in there and do that. The other way, I think, you know, if you're working on a local level, is just to kind of get some of these facts, that the, you know, what this is about, just pointing out that this organization, this ISD organization, that, you know, when they talk about extremism, they're talking about people who are opposed to radical Islam. And, you know, as one point, and, you know, if they take this grant, you know, from the federal government to put in the Strong Cities Network together in the community, then that's going to muzzle people in that community from standing up against illegal immigration and standing up against radical Muslims coming in here and proposing the danger to people. So if you just keep it down to that level, or just talk about the militarization of the police force, I think that you can talk about this without sounding like, you know, you're too far over the edge.
One of the things that they do, and at first I'm going to be attacked about this, but just hang with me. When we talk about the alliances they create, they do so under legitimate, justifiable reasons at first. For example, they got what are called sister cities programs. I don't know if people know about those, but let's just say that my city, American Fork, Utah, has a sister city in somewhere in China. Then what happens is they start trading cultural relationships. They start learning about each other's culture. They have, you know, high school students and contingents of people that come live here for a while, and we go live there for a while, and we have some economic realities that kind of bolster both cities. And at first, it's, you know what, it's phenomenal. It's cultural. It's interesting. It's fascinating. At first, it's very legitimate and pretty neat. But then it starts to go wrong, Tom.
Yeah, yeah. The sister cities thing is like, oh, we have a sister city in England, or we have a sister city in Denmark, or something like that. And we just, you know, we share the leaders from both countries come back and forth and talk with each other, and it seemed like kind of a neat thing. And you had school kids writing letters to school kids in the sister city and all that. But yeah, it is all designed to wipe away the borders and the sovereignty and just kind of. We just all kind of melt into this little international Goombaya city.
What do you say, Kurt? A lot of these things sound simple, sound good. You actually can buy off on a lot of the ideas that come forth that I think what they've learned to do is mix well-meaning ideas, well-meaning people who would buy off on these things. I mean, who wouldn't be for learning about cultures and growing your city by economic ties? And I mean, all those things sound so good at first, but then what happens is you've got this agenda that just kind of gets sprung on you that starts to go all kinds of wrong. And the problem is it's hard to even convince people of that, because when they see so many good, they're like, what are you talking about? I've got friends in China. These people stayed at my house. They're good people. All those things are probably true. It doesn't change the point we're making about they spring this agenda on you. And after a while, the ties then get more and more and more cumbersome and abusive and hostile as we go. And the people that you made friends with may not even be aware either.
You know, you remember, Sam, about I think one of our first times we went to one of those city meetings years ago. And it was either city or county, I forget, but it was where they were coordinating the public response, Tom. And you know this kind of a meeting. What they do is they have their facilitators, and sure, they'll listen to a few of the things from the rabble, if you will, you know, but then they'll remind you that, hey, everybody has got to be for this, and you've got to, even any thinking person would be for this, and, you know, that kind of thing. And before you know it, consensus is reached. That's the goal. You're not supposed to talk anymore. You've had your time in the sun, and now you're supposed to just go along to get along and be a good little citizen. And that's what we see so much of the time. It's, you know, the same old thing, whether it's Washington, D.C., the states, or even the local cities and counties.
Now, you put together some training materials, some videos, some webinars, if you will, to kind of help people get up to speed on a lot of this. And I think that's one of the greatest ways to start. If you can just find one of the videos or get a packet from Tom and politely deliver this to your representatives and or your county commissions, your city councils, et cetera. And then you can kind of soft pedal it and say, hey, I've been reading about this. I'd like you to learn about it, too. And pretty soon, if they start to dig on their own without feeling like you're pushing them, then pretty soon they go, hey, wait a minute. I got to hold on. I don't. And pretty soon they're off to the races, too. Isn't that really how it's happened for the best cities and counties fighting this right now, Tom? Isn't that how they kind of got it done?
Yeah, we started out. Of course, anytime you get something new and you get excited about something, and what a lot of our folks have done have rushed into their city councilman and so forth, and they try to tell them everything they know at this moment, and they don't and that guy isn't on the same level, and they don't know what you're talking about, and they get frightened by you. They go, oh my gosh, I've heard this craziness today. So yeah, you start off a little. More gingerly, and in our website at AmericanPolicy.org, we've got lots of different things that you can gather and take in there. One of the things we're doing right now, Sam. In fact, in about 4 hours, I'm flying to Michigan, and tomorrow I'm meeting with some legislators there, and we are working with legislators to put together. Plans. One of the things we've done in the people have done in the past, trying to fight Agenda 21, different states, they've tried to put a one size fits all bill together, and we're going to stop Agenda 21 and we're going to promote property rights or protect them. And the trouble is they don't define their terms. And the other thing is you put one bill together, then the other side can muster all of its forces and crush that bill, and so you get nowhere with it. What we're learning to do is come about it with a legislative plan where you take lots and lots of different bills aimed at different little things here and there, like 1,000 pinpricks or bee stings, and come at it that way. And this is one of the things we're starting to teach people to do to come at this thing.
All right, quick pause. Tom DeWeese with us, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, this Agenda 21 stuff is serious, serious business. Strong cities is a big, big, big problem. We've got more to tell you. There's buzzwords they're using now that you gotta be aware of. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Tom DeWeese on your radio. All right, we talked about Agenda 21, the wrenching transformation of America. We talked about the strong cities networks. Do you know about that? We also need to talk about HUDs. It's called AFFH. AFFH. And they got a program there. What gives of this, Tom?
Yeah, this is called the Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing Rule. And, you know, we've talked about Agenda 21 over the years, and we've said the grants that come from the federal government come with very specific strings attached, which really mean implementation of Agenda 21. And here it is in spades. This is probably the most outrageous of all the programs that have come out of the federal government. That's saying something. This now says, if you know, we've had this pretense that these developments, these comprehensive development plans and all this smart growth and so forth going on in your community is a local thing. They've had this pretense of that. Now with the AFFH rule, that pretense is gone. If you don't comply to this, HUD will move in and do it anyway. And so it's really a destruction of your local representative government and a top-down tyranny. Back in July 2015, the Secretary of HUD, Castro, put out this 377-page ruling on this. And what they're doing is they're taking every single neighborhood in every community, and they are looking down into the levels of income levels, religion, your color, national origin of people who live in that neighborhood. And then they're determining what the balance should be, that every neighborhood should have a certain balance of these people that, from these kind of categories. And if you don't have it, then you have an imbalance, and HUD is going to come in and fix that. Now, what that means is that neighborhoods where you have higher income people, you have nicer neighborhoods, you've got a real investment in your home, and you know that you've worked hard to live there, they will suddenly come in and say, you've got an imbalance here, and they will put in high rises or you know, low income housing there to bring it all together. And so they're going to destroy your property rights, they're going to destroy your property values, and once again, the focus is on your local representative government, which now is kowtowing to this federal regulation. And let me just give you an example. This is incredible. I got yesterday a document, 39-page document from HUD describing AFFH and how it operates. Let me just give you, here's one major example. As they're looking at your community and deciding if it is in compliance with AFFH, which is nearly impossible to be if you've got free people doing anything, one of the things they look at is location of employers. It says the graphic relationship of job centers and large employers to housing and the linkages between the two, including in particular public transportation, are important components of fair housing choices. So what they're saying here is that if a community is trying to comply and they put in some of this special federal housing for low-income people, well, now we've got to look at it. Well, is it in the right place for for them to be able to get to work? And do you have public transportation? And that brings us right back to the light rail trains, to the buses, to the bicycle paths. Everything becomes on that. The second thing, location of proficient schools and school assignment policies. You've heard the complaint all these years from these socialists that nicer neighborhoods have nicer schools and lower income neighborhoods don't have as nice as schools. Here it is, coming straight at it. And, it's no longer an option of if you have, a higher income area, that you're there because you have different, programs available to you. But here it now is, proficient schools are clustered in a portion of the jurisdiction or region, and the range of housing opportunities closed to proficient schools. They're saying, you no longer can do that. You've got to put everything all in, it's got to be equal across the boards. Well, first of all, we're all paying for public schools. Aren't they equal? If they're not, why not? And that's a problem with the federal government, with the public school system, not with that community. But here they are focusing on that. So these are just some of the examples of this is deliberately set up so that a community organizer like Barack Obama can come in and raise Cain over anything that they see as a slight for certain races or certain income levels. And suddenly your community is going to have to address this, and HUD is going to come in with all kinds of massive regulations and a lead foot on your throat that you have to do these things. And this is the end of local control of your community, and this is nothing but social engineering in your community.
All right, my friend, I know it seems negative. It's very concerning. And it's coming at us like a freight train. And it's very easy to get completely discouraged and kind of want to just melt down and go, man, stick a fork in it. I'm just going to try to somehow flee to the mountains and hope they just leave my little patch of dirt alone. The problem is that's the wrong thing to do. There are answers. We are working together. More Americans have woken up and gotten involved in the last 5 years than the first 20 I've been at this stuff. And so there's a lot to be cheerful about. We've had a lot of wins. And you know what? We're taking them on like never before. I just don't want people to get discouraged. No doubt, it's very difficult. It's perilous times, but there's also a lot of good, right?
I totally agree with you on that, Sam. In fact, when I speak around the country, I really focus on that, because if we look down at the ground in defeat, if we say it can't be done, we tried, then you have lost without question. And the truth of the matter is, the other side is stepping up. Getting these things in place because they're terrified of our opposition. The head of ICLEI USA told an associate of mine, not knowing who he was, that they are terrified of our efforts. He said, we have made it so that ICLEI can't get new members, new member cities, because we've made them political poison. That's a victory. We have to take victories, even small victories. We have to see them for what they are. One of the things on this AFFH thing, Congressman Paul Gosar of Arizona and Senator Mike Lee, right there in Utah, put together legislation. Senator Lee's legislation is called Local Zoning Decisions Protection Act. It's S-1909. And both of these were designed to defund the AFFH rule. What they had planned to do, Gosar's bill passed in the House by a large margin, and then Senator Lee introduced his bill. The plan was, before they passed funding bills, that they were going to have this language in there to defund the AFFH program. Well, Speaker Ryan dumps all this stuff and passes this massive spending bill, and they even increased HUD's budget by $2.6 billion, so they have the money to do it anyway. So, that's, we were betrayed there. But Senator Lee is determined to continue moving forward. Marcus Rubio and Ted Cruz have signed on to his bill, and we're working to try to build support for that and get that passed. But the other thing that we have to focus on in the local community is stop taking the federal grants. That is number one. If you do that, that's where you have to start to protect your community.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you have an incredible resource, AmericanPolicy.org. Tom DeWeese has put together videos. He's put together educational packets that you can utilize. He's done the digging, done the research, puts it together in an easy-to-handle summary. You got to start there and educate yourself. Then you got to make sure you don't go at it with an alarmist idea. What your goal is to produce an awareness and to do so in a way that lets people come to their own conclusions about what it all means and how it all works. And what your job, though, is to make people aware of these situations. Then as people work together and are aware, they start to coordinate and they start to demand politely transparency. And that's when you see synergism, and that's when you really see success, right, Tom?
Absolutely, absolutely. And step by step, take the small victories as victories. Don't look, because you fought a big battle, and maybe you didn't get everything you wanted, don't sit there and say, well, we can't beat them. The other side knows that we are going to come out, we're going to wave some signs, make some protests, make some phone calls, and go home. They wait for you to do that. Don't go home. Stay in the battle, get another little victory and another little victory, and begin to put a spotlight on what they're doing, and you'll begin to move forward.
Let's be very clear. This is not about election cycles, people.
Absolutely.
This is about together, standing steady, and working towards the goal. And we don't need flash-in-the-pan patriots. We need steady, good, honorable patriots to consistently move the ball forward. All right, Tom, thanks so much, my friend. Keep us posted on all you're doing. Come back soon.
Will do. All right, thank you.
The Southern Poverty Law Center is one great organization that has been attacking us relentlessly, and they have become the shill arm of de facto labeling all of us as terrorists. It could not be further from the truth, but that's their sinister, abusive, hostile agenda. But I submit, we shall prevail. So thanks for being alongside for the ride. Again, a big old shout out. Happy birthday to Kirk Crosby. And a thank you all for listening. ThePowerMall.com. Do business with the good guys, would you please? And GiveMeLibertyFund.com, our two sponsors for this hour. Thank you all so much. AmericanPolicy.org is Tom's website. LibertyRoundtable.com and LibertyNewsReader.com is ours. This nation shall endure.